This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of power coming up here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Get you up to speed on the Washington Wizards before we get out of here. Their preseason finale tonight against a fully healthy, fully ready-to-go New York Knicks squad out at Cap One Arena. Wizards start the regular season coming up on Thursday at home against the defending world champion Boston Celtics. So definitely excited for that one. Coming up next week, Wizards, it will give you the complete update in the next segment, but Wizards holding their own against one of the powerhouses of the Eastern Conference. We'll give you a score update coming up in a moment. Want to continue to look ahead to week 7 in the National Football League. Obviously, we've been talking all things Commanders and Panthers, because that's what we care about the most here locally. Well, some of you do. I'll be honest, this is one of those weekends. This is one of those weekends where I'm like, man, I care less about Washington's game. I know they're going to beat Carolina. You obviously want to get out unscathed from an injury standpoint, right? You obviously want to play well, but I don't judge this group by how they play against a team like Carolina, because we know they're better than them. I'll look ahead to next week against Chicago and where you are going into that game mentally. Some people are saying they got to blow Carolina out. I mean, I hear it. It would be nice, but I also understand a win's a win. It's hard as hell to win in the National Football League. It just is. So they do their job and win on Sunday. I'll be feeling good going into Chicago. Like I said, though, Commanders-Panthers not the only game on the docket for week number 7. It's actually a crazy slate. Like, there's a crazy good games on tap. We can even work in reverse order, right? You start on Monday night. That maybe, there's an argument to be made. Monday night may be the game of the weekend. Ravens and Bucks. Buccaneers with big Vita Vea and Kalijah Kansi in the middle of that defense. You want to talk about a group that should be able to muscle up and stop the run with a normal box, right? It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, Tampa's actually struggled against the run, though, which is weird. Sometimes the run numbers for teams are skewed. Tampa's a team that's played with a lead a lot because they score at will at 4-2. It really hadn't been a lot of situations where teams have been able to run the football against them. They blew out New Orleans last week, so their running numbers were kind of skewed. Feels like, but I just look at the personnel that Tampa Bay has and say, wow. If there's a group that can compete with Baltimore, I think this is one. Kalijah Kansi, Vita Vea, Logan Hall, Yaya Diaby, guys that can get after the passer and guys that can be beefy in the run game. They got speed at linebacker with Lavonte David, KJ Britt. The big question is, can your cornerbacks play a man-to-man coverage? Can Zion McCollum and Jamel Dean line up and play man-to-man coverage if they do choose to play with the heavy box? I would have to think that that's going to be their choice, is to play with a heavy box, but you never know. And then offensively, Baker Mayfield is playing as good as anybody in the National Football League right now at the quarterback position. And with their weaponry, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Jalen McMillan, Trey Palmer, Cade Ott at tight end. Like, they can give Baltimore fits offensively. So it's a toss-up for me. Like, Baltimore, they've come out like gangbusters, though. If Baltimore can win Sunday against Tampa, do I look at them as the best team in football? If you go on the road next week to Tampa in a game in which you don't really match up particularly well with the Bucs, and you go handle business, I've reserved the number one spot in my Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the NFL. I've reserved that spot for KC because they're undefeated. But if you look at if I'm like the college football playoff committee, strength of schedule, body of work, Baltimore's got some impressive wins on their resume. Mollywop Buffalo. Beat the brakes off the Cowboys until they came back at the end. Was literally an inch away from beating Kansas City. It's a good football team in the Ravens. They are. I think they're the second best team in the league. This is a real test for them coming up on Sunday, though, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. As we continue to look ahead to week number 7 in the National Football League, probably the best slate of games matchup-wise that we've had. Another one of those NFC games that Washington should be paying attention to, because if they don't win the division, you're fighting for these teams in the wild card hunt. 3-3 Seattle on the road against 4-2 Atlanta. Seattle was 3-0 once upon a time and have now lost 3 straight. The ugly one was to the Giants a couple of weeks ago. Kind of expected them to lose to San Fran on a short week. But I look at Seattle, and they're on the road. I may pick them. Now, the injury report gives me some question. 2 of their top 3 corners are out. So expect Kirk Cousins and company to try and attack the Seahawks through the air. No Trey Brown. No Reek Woolen. That's tough. That's tough. They're also going to be without George Fant. Abe Luke is on pup still. They're beat up up front. They're beat up up front. This is one of the biggest, best stories of the weekend, I guess. This young man, he's got the last name Gerald. 6th-round pick from Division II Finland. Is going to get the start Sunday. Yet to play an offensive snap. Going to get the start on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. And that Falcons pass rush, Matt Judon has not done anything since they traded for him. Seattle needs this win, and I think they get it. That's another really good game coming up on Sunday, though, that I look at and go, got to pay attention to that one. Texans and Packers. This one is interesting to me. For Houston, the injury report for them is not pretty. They're without a couple of key guys going into this one. Talking about the Houston Texans. They're 5-1, playing as good a football as anybody. No Jimmy Ward, no Kamari Lassiter, no Azeez Al-Shaahir, no Henry Tutua, no Robert Woods. So I worry about Houston in this one. But the one thing that I am happy about for Houston defensively, the return of Denico Autry, a guy that to me was one of the most underrated free agent signings of the entire offseason, comes over from Tennessee. A guy that has put up, you know, big-time sack numbers before in his career. Last year, career high, 11.5 sacks, 8 sacks, 9 sacks, 7.5 a couple of years prior. Denico Autry's a dog. So putting him opposite Will Anderson with Danielle Hunter, now you're cooking with gas up front if you were the Houston Texans defensively. I love this group. I do. I continue to think they're the second biggest threat to Kansas City. It's Kansas City, Baltimore, and Houston. Like, those are, and there's everybody else in the AFC. That's how I look at this conference. And them getting him back, talking about Autry, is massive. Massive, massive, massive. And I think we see the Houston Texans, without Nico Collins, go to Green Bay and get a victory. I really feel that. Neville Hewitt's going to have to play big in reserve for Al-Shaahir, but if they can make them one-dimensional and shut down Josh Jacobs in the running game, they got the pass rush to get after Jordan Love, because that Green Bay offensive line has had their struggles. Now, the one thing that I guess didn't talk about enough is Green Bay defensively. Really, really good. on that side of the football for the most part. Green Bay Packers defensively have given up 4 touchdowns all year. So, like, they are legit, talking about 4 rushing touchdowns, that is. Like, they're a legit group, man, on that side of the football. And I continue to believe that, you know, they're going to have an opportunity. That probably should be the best game of the weekend, talking about Houston and Green Bay. But the thing is why I wanted to go through some of these. There's a lot of those games on schedule. Baltimore, Tampa is going to be a heavyweight bout. Houston and Green Bay, another game that I think is going to be a heavyweight bout. And then the NFC North. Who would have thought that that was going to be the best division in football? 4-1 Lions on the road against the 5-0 Vikings. Brian Flores has been dialing it the hell up. Between Flores and Cliff, you talk about assistants of the year in the NFL, man. I mean, they've been really good. I'm going to go with Minnesota at home. I don't know if Detroit has enough in the secondary to deal with Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson. So I'm going to go with Minnesota, but it's a toss-up to me, man. Vikes, 1.5 favorite. It's because they're at home. We'll see, man. We'll see. Detroit is so interesting to me because that's why I'm glad we got Lance Newmark. I just appreciate the team that they have been able to put together here. Talking about Detroit, hitting on draft picks, depth at every spot. Defensively, they're much improved. Still got some work in the secondary, but like I just like the team that they've put together. And they're going to be a group that's a force to be reckoned with. I mean, all year long. I mean, they're going to be a tough out. They lost, their only loss in the year is to Tampa, and we know how much of a juggernaut the Bucs have been through the first month plus of the year. That's another game that I really circle on my calendar and go, yeah, that's one that'll have you glued to your seat, make you not want to leave the house all day long. And we got San Fran in Kansas City, Super Bowl rematch. San Fran 2-point favorites. I was talking about it before the show started. It makes no sense. I think Kansas City gets that one, though. Think. 1-800-636-1067 is number. We'll take a quick timeout. As promised, when we get back, I will get you up to speed on the Washington Wizards. Their preseason finale. How they looking? Tell you next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As promised, here on Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. I got a Wizards update coming your way because, yeah, I care about Washington Wizards preseason hoops taking on the New York Knicks, who are a powerhouse, ladies and gentlemen, in the Eastern Conference after trading for Karl-Anthony Towns. They're playing their starters tonight, big-time minutes. Guess what? Wizards up 112-110 with a minute 52 left to go in regulation. Jalen Brunson leads all scorers with 27 points for the Knicks. Karl-Anthony Towns has got 22. OG Anunoby's got 14. Mikal Bridges can't hit the wide side of a barn. He's 0-10 from beyond the arc. But Wizards up 1 with a minute 52 left to go in regulation. Wizards playing tonight without Bilal Coulibaly and without Corey Kispert. They have played 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 guys tonight. Jarrett Butler's got 14 off the bench. Jordan Poole, 6 of 10, leads all scores. He doesn't look like he's played much in the second half for the Wizards, as we've seen guys like Taylor Funk getting on the action. He's another guy for the Wizards, man. He showed up in summer league out in Vegas. Taylor Funk. Slim can stroke it. 6'8". Can shoot the cover off the damn basketball. Wizards got to cut one guy. Jarrett Butler making sure it's not him tonight. Johnny Davis getting in. Johnny Davis got 8 points and 5 helpers. Wizards acting different. Keyshawn George started tonight. He's been impactful. No Alex Saar in this one as well. How did I forget? No Coulibaly, no Kispert, and no Alex Saar. And we've seen this from the Washington Wizards. For a team that is not expected to win more than 25 games this year. And I think that would even be viewed as a success. It'd be a 9-game improvement from the year before. When I see effort like this against a team like New York, that's why I get excited. It's all about the young pups this year for the Washington Wizards, man. And we know it's important. Can their 3 first-rounders develop? Bub Carrington, Keyshawn George, Alex Saar. Can they develop? Let's go out to Athan in Annapolis. Athan. Hello, my friend.
Hey, my brother, you love those participation trophies with preseason basketball with the Wizards. If that's what you have to look forward to with basketball this year, you're going to be one disappointed cat. Why don't you just jump on the Knicks train with me and Richie right now?
Yeah, you know what, Anthony? I forgot that you love your Knickerbockers, huh? You know, the Knicks are playing their starters, and they have played their starters a majority of this one, and Washington's competing, so it's something to celebrate.
Well, hey, it's the little things in life that count. But on a serious note, congratulations to you, my brother, on the Friday's deal. And I will be there to celebrate your success in Largo next Thursday.
I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you.
Hey, I will be giving out autographs and pictures for free. However, anybody who wants me to insult you live, it costs a quarter. So.
Yeah, doing it live is something else, right?
Yeah. Hey, but I just want to tell you before you get off the air, I think if they're going to make a trade, the Skins, you can't use any of your draft capital for short term. You can't be for a loaner. You need to be looking for someone who can help you at least the next 2 years.
Under contract, preferably.
Well, yeah, but keep this in mind, and I don't know if you mentioned this earlier, but there was an article that came out today talked about how the Rams are in salary cap hell and they're still carrying Aaron Donald's contract. Who's to say for the right amount of money they couldn't trade Aaron Donald to the Skins, get him to come out of retirement, give him about $40 or $50 million guaranteed for the next 2 years, and see if he could go in there. Money talks, like you
money
said. You'd like to see the
talks.
Man get paid.
Money talks, Athan. Wow. That would be something. The more realistic trade target, I think, from them is going out and getting the corner on the outside. I appreciate the call, brother. We were up against the clock. Talk to you soon, my friend. 1-800-636-1067. We'll get a little bit smarter coming up on the other side of the break. Odyssey NFL Insider, Jason Lock and Four are going to join us to preview Sunday, as well as take a spin around the NFL. That is coming up next here on The Fan. Welcome back. It's Overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the youngest in charge movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up the 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Joining us right now via the BetQL guest hotline is Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenford. Jason, appreciate you giving us some time, my man.
How's it going?
Good, man. Look, the coffee tastes better. I'm not as sore when I work out. The sun shines brighter when the Washington Commanders are playing the type of football that they are playing here through the first 6 weeks of the season. From an outsider's perspective, you're not too far outside. You're right up the beltway. What have you made of Washington's start, and how sustainable, Jason, do you think it is?
Well, I think they're a pretty good football team. And they're right now an excellent offensive football team, which allows them to cover up some of the warts on the defensive side of the ball. But I'm also not sure they're quite as horrible as their gross numbers might indicate defensively. We do a lot of work at our station with Bobby DePaul, who was with Joe Gibbs originally as a coaching side when Gibbs was first rising to prominence, and then he ran personnel for Andy Reid in Philadelphia and put together a Bears roster that went to a Super Bowl, worked all throughout the league, and, you know, he does a lot of work watching film for us, and he's pretty bullish on the Commanders, even on the defensive side of the ball, and feels like each week they're kind of understanding the principles and what's being taught to them now more and more. And I don't know, man. I think that, like, they're the best team in that division, which maybe that's damning with faint praise, but I think they are. And I kind of think the Giants, to me, are maybe the second most interesting team.
Wow.
And the other two are just like
the messes,
underachievers, and they are who they are, and they're front runners. And when everything goes great, you know, and they're able to play with leads, they're one way. But when they're in, you know, competitive football games, it tends to bring out the worst in them. Like I think the Giants, you know, it wouldn't shock me if the Giants beat the Eagles this week. You know, I think Washington will take care of business, and I think it sets up pretty well for Washington to, you know, to have a home playoff game.
And wouldn't that be something? Washington hadn't hosted a home playoff game since 2020 during that COVID year, so obviously it has an asterisk next to it. But, Jason, after watching Washington Sunday against Baltimore, best team they've played by far to this point, didn't have Brian Robinson. They were pretty one-dimensional offensively. Did you gain more respect for Washington after Sunday against B-more?
I mean, not really, because it's what I was expecting.
Yeah.
I thought it would be a one-score game. I didn't love laying the points with Baltimore. I liked the over. I thought that Washington could kind of hold serve and keep it close and score enough to be in it in the fourth quarter. Baltimore did a better job taking away Daniels in the run game than I thought they would. And something, you know, so the Robinson not being there may have had more than a little to do with that, because it didn't have quite as much multiplicity, and I think we know Eckler's more of a ball catcher than a ball runner at this stage. And so, but like, no, I not a whole lot shocked me about that game. Honestly, it kind of played out like I thought it might. I thought it might be a little higher scoring. But they're not a bad football team. They're not. I mean, people have to come to grips with that. It's not a terrible offensive line. It's a bad defense. It's not an awful defense. It's not a we can't overcome it type defense. And I do think it'll continue to get better.
Yeah, I think the opponents coming up, Jason, are going to help Washington's defensive numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You got Carolina this week. Chicago's obviously tough. But then New York and Pittsburgh aren't anything flashy offensively, so they'll have some opportunities to get better statistically. Going back to this offense as a whole, man, I remember we had you on when the Cliff Kingsbury hire happened, and you were, you know, someone that was honestly, that was pretty bullish on it and thought it made sense. When you look at what he has been able to do here offensively, two-parter for you. One, how impressed are you that he is not dropping back Jaden Daniels 40 times per contest? And then two, like, is he having the type of success, Jason, to where we should fear other teams trying to poach him away this offseason? Has it gotten to that point?
I don't know. you know, it's one thing to run an offense. I think people knew he was capable of that. It was running the whole show and knowing when to subjugate your ego and being able to get along with the quarterback when it's a head coach quarterback relationship, and getting the whole team to buy in and getting everybody prepared. I mean, there's a lot more that goes into coaching a football team than, you know, drawing up plays. So I don't know about that happening, you know, right away. I mean, I'm not going to rule it out, but I that might be a little fast. But I'm surprised that he's the run. I'm surprised the run game is as robust as it is. Like, I mean, I thought this kid was a pretty special quarterback, and did I think he'd be doing what he was doing in week two and week three? No, but I thought by the middle of the season we'd be looking at him saying that kid's pretty damn good. Now that part happened faster, but the fact that, you know, they're rolling together, whatever it was, three straight weeks with 200 yards rushing until their feature back got hurt. I didn't know. I did not see that coming. I didn't really see that from Cliff Kingsbury before. But they were an absolute wagon running out of 11 personnel, and I'm sure they'll get back to it relatively quickly. Baltimore's the number one rushing defense in the NFL.
Right.
It's not particularly close right now. So, no Robinson, that's a tough ask. But no, I've been super impressed with Cliff Kingsbury. I had reservations about this coupling, and it couldn't have gone any better than it has.
I agree with you, man. And I think some of the assistants that Dan Quinn brought on this staff deserve a ton of credit for why this running game has been, you know, so robust, as you put it. Bobby Johnson, coming from New York, formerly in Buffalo, knows how to work with a running quarterback, knows how to design a good run game. Anthony Lynn, I mean, think about the redemption story for him. He had the play calling duties stripped away from him in Detroit. Yeah. And he is, you talk to people in that building, JLC, he's the guy that has been a major architect of what they're doing in the run game. So I just think, I give credit to Dan Quinn, man, putting the right personalities together and the right mix of guys in this building on this coaching staff. You know, Jason, it almost was like he was the perfect fit, not some boy genius out in Detroit that had never led a group of men before.
Yeah. I can't say enough about what they do offensively and what they've become, and the different ways that they can beat you, and the way that they've incubated and protected this quarterback on the fly and put him in positions to succeed. It doesn't happen very often.
No, it does not. It's one of the special things that we've gotten to see here in recent memory across the National Football League. He's playing the position as good as anybody here through the first 6 weeks. Maybe the numbers come back down to the middle of the pack at some point. People are asking, well, is he going to hit this rookie wall? I wonder, Jason, and we had this conversation during the pre-draft process, and you were, you know, pretty adamant that, like, it was Daniels, then it was potentially McCarthy, then May for Washington here. In terms of how NFL evaluators look at the quarterback position, because he's having this type of success coupled with playing 5 years of college football, do we think that some of these evaluators are going to start leaning toward the guy that's played a lot of snaps, the Brock Purdy effect, now Jaden Daniels? How much do you think the prism is being, you know, moved here a little bit?
Well, I mean, it was always one of Bill Parcells' quarterback, you know, principles. You want a guy who's met a certain threshold of number of starts. And you can look at what's going on with Anthony Richardson right now, right?
Yeah.
And say, well, that was a guy who barely played. And right now, I think if you're trying to win a game for the Indianapolis Colts this weekend, you're playing Joe Flacco and not Anthony Richardson. I mean, the body of work, the totality of it matters. I think these kids having the flexibility they have now to bounce around, the ones who come out on the other side of it and end in a place where they perform well, even if they bounced around a little bit, might serve them well. You know, like I even a Spencer Rattler, like he didn't look totally overwhelmed to me last week. He made some mistakes, like there, you know, there were some issues, but I've seen a lot of kids drafted a lot higher than him look a lot less ready to play. So, I think having that sort of journey is something that the evaluator should put a stock in.
Joined right now by Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfora. Jason, with the trade deadline coming up in a few weeks, Let's play hypothetical Harry here. If Washington is 7-2, Jason, at the deadline, meaning they rattle off their next three, they knock off Carolina Sunday, which they should do. They win a tough one against Chicago, which I don't know if they'll be favored in that one. And then they go on the road to beat New York. Should they be aggressive, Jason, in trying to acquire some defensive help, or should they just keep on the timeline of this rebuild? Because the one thing I would continue to say is, yeah, you don't want to mortgage your future too much, but you also only get X amount of years with Jaden Daniels on this rookie contract, which I think is the biggest asset right now in professional football.
Yeah, I think you have to be realistic about what the trade deadline really is. You're talking about high-end moves, and it's about a team trying to get over the top. So, like, you're going to have teams that are highly motivated that aren't going to value their draft picks the way you value yours.
Right.
So for you to beat them, right, for you to give up more in compensation than them, it's probably going to hurt you a little bit more. It's certainly going to be riskier for you. Because you do have a lot of holes to fill, and you are on a magic carpet ride right now,
right.
But it's very early, and people are going to adjust. And, you know, you're going to play a lot, but you're going to play teams that look a whole lot more like Baltimore than Carolina, you know, if you get in the dance. So I think you need to be judicious about it. And I mean, like, if it's a player who fits and fits, like I don't think you should be, like, beating people for rentals. Like, I don't know if that's going to make sense. Now, if it's somebody who's young enough that you think could have multiple years there, that somebody was a high draft pick who you don't think is working out in their scheme and you can make a value play and bring him here and he's better than what you have at that position and he has better upside and you're giving up less than what was used to draft him in the first place. Like, I think there's moves that can make sense for them. But, like, going out there and beating the Detroit Lions for Max Crosby if he's moved, like, I don't – you know what I mean? Like, I don't know the kind of compensation that that's going to require. I don't know that is going to be where it's at for them or really, you know, the kind of waters that they need to be wading into. A little bit of buying here and there to tighten some things up there. You know, there's a lot of veteran linebackers out there, some veteran safeties. Like, there's guys who could maybe fortify your spine a little bit. Wouldn't have to break your back to do it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, something like that. Sure. But if you're drafted well, those draft picks are gold too.
Yeah, for sure. In Washington, their biggest need probably is edge rusher and then another outside corner. So those, you know, Jason, don't just, you know, grow on trees. So you're going to have to give up.
You're paying a premium.
Exactly. You have to pay a pretty penny to get a guy like that in your building. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Jason, relative to the trade deadline, any veterans that you expect to be on the move on some of these teams that, you know, don't have a good record right now?
Yeah, a lot. we've already seen movement and significant movement and, you know, Jacksonville, like, are they really going to keep Christian Kirk? Like, I mean, Travis Etienne, he's not going to get a second contract there, I don't think. And he doesn't really fit there. And the kid Bigsby's been more explosive than him. Like, you know, that's going to make some sense. I know they just signed Ronald Darby, but, like, what are they going to win with Ronald Darby? Like, Ronald Darby played really well for the Ravens last year, including in the playoffs. Like,
and he's from
trying
here.
To win.
That's a guy Washington should call on.
Yeah, Ronald Darby would be an interesting move for them. Like, you know, I think there's a bunch of people there. Like, you look at, you know, Arizona. Like, feels like this might be the end of the Buda Baker thing there. I know they just brought in Mac Wilson, but that's a pretty good linebacker who is on a cheap salary, and it might make sense to try to flip him into a draft pick. The Browns, like,
what happens there, Jason? Because that to me,
they're going to trade more people. They're going to trade more people.
Yeah. Does it get to the level of a Denzel Ward potentially being available? Because I'm like,
he was. A lot of people thought he was going to be traded before the draft. So,
wow. Yeah,
I don't rule out Denzel Ward. I don't rule out Za'Darius Smith.
That's another interesting one relative
Jerome
to Washington.
Ford, you know, like, they're getting Chubb back. They've got all these running backs there. Like, could they get something for Jerome Ford? Like, I expect them to continue to move people. Like, I know New England's a little bit open for business. Does Dietrich Wise move somebody, you know, the needle for somebody else?
See,
you know,
Miami,
that's why I don't know how much Calais Campbell has left in the tank, but, like, he's not making any money. Is he a guy who goes to a really good team and he helps improve their culture and helps improve their locker room? And, you know, you use him for 12 plays a game, like, as a situational D lineman. I expect there to be some significant movement.
And it feels like in the last couple of years, there's been a little bit more movement at the deadline.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It honestly makes it exciting, man, for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of younger, fresh blood, younger GMs. They're not as tied to the old school ways of thinking.
I think
as much as we talk about it being a league of parity, when you have a few trades that already happened this early, you know, these billionaires, they like to save money too, and they see somebody else peddling a contract and say, well, I don't think this guy, are they worth what we're paying them? And if they're not, you think you could pawn them off on somebody else? That stuff gets contagious too.
For sure. I want to ask you more about the Cleveland Browns, Jason, because I think it's one of the most fascinating situations in the National Football League. Here we have Kevin Stefanski, two-time coach of the year, clearly a smart, bright offensive mind. Do you remember a situation like this over your time covering the league where it was clearly an ownership versus coach situation? Because I make the joke all the time. If I was Stefanski, I'm walking into Jimmy Haslam's office and saying, hey, look, man, we either bench this kid and play Jameis, or I'm walking. Because I know Stefanski wouldn't be out of a job for long.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he knows who he's working for. He's been working for him for a long time, and he knows how many coaches don't have decent records there, and he knows how they've shuffled through people. So I don't think he's going to be making any stands. I think he feels like he's going to outlast Watson, and at some point this guy will realize that it doesn't matter what he's paying him. He's got to move. He's got to move in a different direction. Anything like this? Not quite. I mean, from the way they pursued him and the circumstances under which they pursued him to the contract they gave him, you know, to incentivizing, you know, saving him money once he got his inevitable suspension. I mean, there's so many things they did that were just so unseemly and shameful in real time. You know, they're getting what they deserve. They're getting what they paid for. And it's going to tear that franchise apart. Like a lot of people thought it was always going to, maybe not this rapidly, but that guy's not a leader. That guy never wanted to be there. I mean,
he just wanted the money.
He just kept throwing, not even just the money, but the contract structure and everything else. And it doesn't matter what they do to you or what the punishment is. We'll stand behind you. And it doesn't matter if the suspension is 12 games or 16 games or 18 games. Like, literally, the reality doesn't matter. You know, we're just going to make you an offer. You keep making offers you can't refuse until you stop refusing them. Like, that's not a smart way to run any operation, especially not an NFL team when he's playing the most important position. So
Jason,
I don't know that I've seen anything like this before.
Jason, with the situation in Cleveland and their pursuit of Watson, do you know, based off folks you talk to, is it more of an ownership decision, or does Andrew Berry have his hands on this? And you know, they were desperate for their quarterback.
This is an owner. Like, the directive was go get this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, why doesn't he want to come here? Why does he want to go to Atlanta? Well, what if we did this? Well, what if we did that? Well, what do you think it would take? Well, you know what I mean? Well, we've got to meet with him. Well, let's make sure that that's a complete cursory BS mockery of a meeting. And, like we're supposed to act like we've evaluated him. Whatever. Whatever, you know, we're cool with whatever you say. We'll handle this any way you want. Like, no, I mean, look, these were unprecedented. This was an unprecedented pursuit, and it was an unprecedented outcome and an unprecedented contract that nobody has matched since for far better players. Yeah. And players who come with character pluses instead of, you know, disgusting character warts.
That's awful, man.
Nobody looks good. I mean, it doesn't reflect well on anybody. Yeah. But this reflects worse than anybody else on the Haslams.
Yeah.
They've been bumbling fools since they bought that team. So I don't know that they've learned any lessons, and I don't know that anything's going to change.
You have a way with words, my friend. I got one more before we let you go, Jason. Appreciate your time as always, man. One of my absolute favorites to catch up with. I want to keep it in the AFC North. Would Mike Tomlin really pull the plug on Justin Fields, Jason? Or do you buy the rumor? Yeah. I mean, Jason, he's a smart dude. Their offense, which is already yuck to watch, becomes even more disgusting with Russell Wilson under center because you don't have the added threat of Fields as a runner. Why would you do that if you're Mike T?
I mean, I don't know. I'm a big Mike Tomlin guy, but I think he's outsmarting himself, and I don't care what he promised Russell Wilson or what they said when they're negotiating players or, you know, when they're trying to recruit people. Like, the guy hasn't been healthy. The guy hasn't been on a football field. The guy didn't do anything when he was practicing with them to make it an absolute certainty that he had to be their starter. And they're winning football games, and in some ways they're winning football games to me, despite the offensive coordinator, who I don't think was putting Fields in the best positions to succeed anyway. Yeah. So, no, I think you just saw what the Buffalo Bills did running the ball on the Jets. And yeah. The Jets' defensive coordinator is distracted now because he also has to be the head coach of the team. So let's take away the element of surprise, and let's take away, you know, the option football, and let's take away having to defend the quarterback outside the pocket, and let's go put a guy in who won't use his legs, who doesn't want to throw the ball more than 4 yards down the field, who you don't even really have to respect play action on anymore because he's not going to push the ball downfield. You know, let's go and get our version of Aaron Rodgers off the bench, because that's what Russell Wilson is at this stage of his career. And you know, have him throw the ball to the running backs and throw bubble screens to the wide receivers and, you know, try to live on yak. I don't get it, man.
Yeah. Seems like self-sabotage.
With the defense slipping a little bit, I really feel like time of possession for them would be everything in this game if they could win it. But I think they're going to have a hell of a time winning it with Russell Wilson.
I agree. Real quick on Miami, what do you see happening with Tua, Jason?
I mean, it sounds like he's going to play, and they want him to play. And for how long, I don't know. And, you know, I don't know how that's going to go.
I can't watch a Dolphins game if he's going to be under center, man. It's hard. Yeah, it's tough to watch, man.
Yeah, it is. And whenever he comes back, they're going to have nothing to play for. And
exactly.
It's, they're going to be playing in glorified exhibition games. You know, I don't know. Like, does he come back and wear a guardian cap? Like, boy, they're pushing guardian caps like it's, you know, like it's the cure for cancer. Like,
that wouldn't shock me.
You know, and it can't hurt. I don't think it's anything close to the quasi-cure-all that you know,
yeah,
certain people in the NFL's medical office would have you believe. But, you know, it can't hurt. And you know, maybe he's the first quarterback to wear that. And maybe they try to take some other protective measures. But,
yeah.
I don't think that one, there's a lot of different ways that thing could end. And I have a hard time seeing it be something that Dolphins fans and Dolphins players end up celebrating, but I hope I'm wrong. Cause he's a great young man. And, you know, you just hope that he lives the kind of life and has the quality of life that everybody would aspire to.
Yeah.
But we all know the history there.
It's tough. Jason, appreciate you as always, my friend. We'll do it again soon, man.
You got it, man. My pleasure. Thank you.
Once again, a big shout out to Jason Locken for joining us here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. That is going to do it here for this Friday night edition of Overtime. Big thank you to Chris Russell. Big thank you to Jason Locken for. Big thank you for your calls. A big thank you to Vic Ferreira behind the glass, keeping us up to speed. The Infinity Sports Network coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.